16, oh, there we go. 1, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel.
Good morning. Some of you know my name. Others of you are going, I don't have a clue who that guy is. Please forgive me, but I am the semi-retired pastor from Lighthouse. They just can't get rid of me.
Stop it.
But what a blessing it is to be asked to share from this pulpit. Because we're taught well by Pastor Greg from this pulpit, and so there's a huge responsibility. And so you pour into what you think the Lord wants to say to you, and there's so much that I have to say with you. I have ordered lunch in. Yeah, Junior's just, he's going, he's kidding. Aren't you? Yes, I am. I am. I love you, buddy. Gosh, I love you. You're one of my favorites. And so are the rest of you. I was so blessed in singing that last song, and I mean, it just ministered to my heart, and there's some particular reasons why. My wife told me not to cry this morning, so I'm not going to cry. I'm just one of those, I'm one of those soft-hearted people that, you know, I cry at things, but God rescued me. He rescued me from darkness, and I didn't even know it was dark because I was so full of my disease. And I don't know about you, but some of you have that same disease. It's called PRIDE. And some of you are going, PRIDE. That's what it was. I was all about me and how good I was, and I was a good person, and I was going to be righteous and holy, and I was going to do all these things. I was going to accomplish all these things, and I was lying to myself, and I didn't even know it. But there is a God who loves us enough to rescue us from darkness. And so when I read, that's the first time. How many of you, that's the first time you've ever heard that song? Yeah, whoa. Yeah, me too. And when it said, Elohim, the God who goes before us, that's a huge deal, because I was taught that that was the name of God, Elohim, and he was one of many gods, and if I did my work properly and the way I was told to do it, I too could become a god. And I bought into that until somebody taught me that Elohim is not his name. Elohim is a description of who he is. So when that song says, the God of my God goes before me, that's what it's saying. The Elohim of my God goes before me. It's saying the God of my God goes before me. Who is that? He is the triune God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, which that song profoundly brought out for our benefit, that said, that's the God I trust in. That's the God who redeems me. He is singular God, but he is plural of nature. And he made you and me. This is not the message I have in my notes. Boy, am I going to get in trouble when I get home. No, I don't get in trouble. My wife just doesn't talk to me for a few days. And so it's not true either. Man, I'm up here being a liar right in front of you. Please forgive me. I'm just messing with you. But the reality is, though, of who God is. Y'all have your Bibles with you, right? If not, you got your phones with you or whatever. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. And I want to help you see something that I didn't know. But again, it was taught to me. There we go. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I can't believe I messed that up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning verse 23. It says, are y'all there? Okay. It says, now may the God of peace himself, singular, okay? But watch, listen, pay attention. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely or wholly, W-H-O-L-Y. Sanctify means to be set apart from something to something else. There's more to it, but that's the simple explanation of what sanctification means. And I've been set apart from sin, from darkness, from death, to life, to eternity, to joy, to hope. That's the variance. There's a huge gap in between, and who it is it's Jesus. You see that? He's the bridge. He's my Elohim, but he's my God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And it says to sanctify me. He's the only one who can sanctify me. And he does sanctify me, as we know, by his blood that was shed for us on the cross, for all of mankind. It's available for everyone. Who would believe? And I didn't know him well enough to know that I needed to believe in him until I came to an end of me. And I cried out, God, I don't like my life anymore. I want what you want. And he goes, it's about time. And he rescued me. I'll tell you a little bit more about that maybe later. But he says, completely holy. There's no, he doesn't miss a part. He's got us all. And it says, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our whole spirit, our whole soul, and our body. How many are me of me? Thank God there's only one of me. But how many of you are you? Just one of you. You are a triune being made in the image of God. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying we're going to be gods based on that. That's an explanation to help us understand what God does is he redeems our whole lives. That's Elohim. That's his title. When God introduces him to Moses, he says, I am the great I am. I eternally exist, right? That's an insurance salesman. Come on, give me a little confirmation here. But then he says, Moses, I want you to tell them that I am the Yehovah, the YHWH, the LORD, Elohim. Why would he say his name twice? He doesn't say his name twice. He says his name, and then he gives us a descriptive name of him. You got it? Now go teach it and we're done. Oh my goodness. That is not the introduction that I was planning to do. The introduction that I was planning to do was, did you know that three adults One out of three adults sleep with a comfort object? One, two, three, one. No, no. I don't. I sleep very well. Anyway, but I no longer need my teddy bear. Susie has it. This is a statistic that really bugs me. The global rate for washing hands after using the toilet is less than 1 out of 5 people. So be careful who you shake hands with. Oh my goodness, only 20% of people using the restroom wash their hands. Man, I'm glad to be part of the 20%. Did you know that only 73% of Christians avoid sharing their faith with non-believers? Almost 7.5 out of 10 avoid sharing their faith with non-believers. Only 50% of believers believe it's necessary to share the gospel. They believe it's the church's responsibility. Well, I want you to know I'm going to do it. And the reason that I'm going to do it is because I know where I was saved from. Because I was saved from the depths of hell that were so dark you couldn't see in front of your face. And it was full of arrogance. It was just a spirit of arrogance everywhere. And I couldn't even see it until God chose to rescue me because somebody was willing to do this. Troy, can you pop that up there for me, please? That doesn't work either. You see that? Yeah, that's it. No, go back. Okay, thank you. Bless you. Thank you so much. This, David did such a great job last week. You know, praise the Lord for what he did with Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm going to take a little bit different look at it today. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am." I just hope you hold on to that. And it's such a treasure whenever you read that, when he's proclaiming himself, the eternally existent one, with you always. I am is with you always to the end of the age. Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, telling them the gospel. And so what is the gospel? Well, I can give you some technical descriptions of what the gospel is. Briefly, we all know that it means, well, hopefully we're familiar with it, that it means good news. Isaiah 61:3 describes this good news. To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes is what it says in the King James. The ESV will say a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You see, the gospel is good news, and God takes and makes beauty out of ashes to give us hope, is what this passage is saying. And so what does it mean that God gave us beauty out of ashes? Well, think about the cross. Jesus was cast out and he was hung on a cross to be judged for us. Just as God told the Israelites to take blood-stained menstrual cloths and cast them outside the camp and burn them. Turn them to ashes. There's no value in that. You know what that is? That's a description of our righteousness. That's what God says about our righteousness. The most righteous thing you think that you could do, God says, no, that's what it is. Because there is no righteousness other than Christ. But because of his righteousness, because he was judged on our behalf on that cross, he took my sins, your sins, all of our sins of all mankind. He took our sins and he paid the price for that which was his life and has shed his blood so that we could be cleansed of unrighteousness. Oh, I carried the burden of sin. How do I fix it? Well, I'll just do something good and that'll make me feel good. I couldn't carry the burden any longer. It was crushing me. But you see, Jesus gave up his life willingly, and 3 days later, he rose again. Yeah, my Savior isn't in a grave. He is alive, and he promises to be with us always. And did you notice that when we receive him, there's something that we are supposed to do, that it's an acknowledgement of the change of a heart that's taken place. We are supposed to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. It's a recognition. It's an honoring to God that's saying, I want the world to know that he has changed me. He's given me new life. And what name are we baptized in? Maybe I should ask what names. But it says name. Name. The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, we wouldn't understand I am, so he gave us the YHWH. He also gave us Jehovah. He gave us Yeshua's. And we, you know, I don't know about you, but I speak English. He gave us Jesus. We baptize truly in the name of Jesus. Ask Peter. It's written for us. But God doesn't have names because he's not separate gods doing the same thing, having the same purpose. No, his purpose is to win us by his love. Jesus commands us to go. Because there's pain and there's suffering and there's senseless things that happen, like what happened last week and what happened a couple of weeks ago to some very precious friends of mine called the Bragas. And we could easily say, why did that happen? They're faithful, Lord. They share the gospel. They're amazing people. And I question God. I got to see my brother and my sweet little sister this last weekend. Susie and I went the first day that Danny is actually out of the hospital. And his words to us were all about hope. God's going to use this for his glory. See, he takes the beauty and he makes beauty out of ashes, just like he did for us as Jesus rose from that grave 3 days later, because the beauty was as he provided eternal life for us so that we could have a righteous and a holy relationship with a righteous and a holy God. That we could have fellowship with God, because that's where our joy is made full. And God, as Dave brought out so well, remarkably entrusted his message of hope, which is immersed in grace and mercies, to come from us. Because your life matters. The suffering and the difficulty that you've gone through matters. Because as you have gone through those things, and maybe you're going through them now like the Bragas are, but what's the message that you are communicating? It may not be a message of hope in the midst of it, but for Danny and Alexis it is. But at the same time period, it might be as we would look back like Job did. He looked back when God spoke to him, when God revealed himself to him, and God told him about his magnificence that he revealed through creation so that men might know him personally. And what was Job's response? He says he puts his hand over his mouth. Now, in my world, I would just say, shut up. But Job recognized that he needed to be still and know that he is God. Lay it all down. Whatever, if this is what God has for me, he's going to use it for his glory. Oh, that Dave brought out again, that part that we get the opportunity, as 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us, that when we suffer and we make it through suffering, we get to share with others that they too might have hope. You are messengers of hope to a hopeless world. There's a whole lot of people that are in Twin Falls that have got fear and worry and doubt, and they don't even want to go outside again and or go someplace. And it's like they need to have the peace of Christ. God says this is what he does for us every single day. He says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. That's how we make sense of things that are senseless, folks, is we can't make sense of them in our own reasoning. But what we can do is we can put our hope and our confidence back in the Lord, so that what we do is when we speak to others, we offer them a message of hope. Because it is a fallen and broken world. But we get to share the gospel. The gospel is good news because Jesus, God, came to die on a cross to pay this for our sins. He gave up his life to conquer my greatest enemy. So he conquers both of my enemies, sin and death. Death, I no longer belong to death. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And so because I believe in him, though I die, is what his word says, I will live. We're going to live, folks. Man, that ought to light up your life. That ought to bring joy to your life in the midst of any adversity that you face. That it says, my confidence is not in my life. My confidence is in who gave me life.
I'm sorry, I needed to take a look at the clock because I have an hour's worth of message here. So I'm going to have to move forward a little bit. But I can't pass up Colossians 2:9 because the triune God is profoundly and beautifully illustrated for us in baptism, that we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Well, Colossians 2:9 says, for in him, Jesus, the whole W-H-O-L-E, fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So when I receive Jesus, but as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. Isn't it great to be a child of God? Oh, every human is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. But that doesn't make us a child of God. It has to be a step of faith. I'm putting my trust and my confidence in who this Jesus of this Bible says, who this God of this Bible is, because that whole Bible, the old and the new, all profess good news because it's about God and the fact that he came to reveal himself through Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't know that. When I was a senior at the University of Idaho, my sister came to confront me with my faith in Mormonism. I was so mean to her. I was like Peter with a sword in my hand, lopping off her ears. And later, after I got saved, you know why I got saved? That woman was praying for me. What did I just tell you? Pray. We pray for the lost. And she did. She shared. She was gracious, and she prayed for me. And 5 years later, I began to question what it meant when she shared one half of one verse with me. It says, I warn everyone, this is Revelation 22, 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Now, I don't know that you want to live your life with that plaguing you. No pun intended. But then in the fall of 82, when I was 25, I was empty, and that's when I cried out. And shortly after that, my mom invites me to go to a film that I didn't know anything about, and she says, it's about Mormonism. It's called The God Makers. And I said, sure, I'll go, you know. And what it did is it revealed a lot of things to me that I didn't realize I didn't know and I didn't believe in. So I began to question, and I'm so glad I did, because at that same time period, I had met this cute little girl. Oh my gosh, she's drop-dead gorgeous. Her name is Susie. Susie told me not to say that, but I did it anyways because I'm a sinner. But for some particular reason, she started liking me. And I liked her. She was cute. And she was fun. And she was real. But she was a believer in God. I didn't understand it. So she was confronted by some friends that said, you can't continue with this relationship. You either share the gospel with him and he gets saved and you can trust in what God's going to do with him after that. Or, in my terminology, you broom him. Now, if you understand baseball, you understand what that means. It is, you're out. So praise God that Susie risked our relationship to share the gospel, the good news. Though I didn't understand it at the time, it didn't make sense to me. She wasn't trusting in her reasoning to convince me or her persuasiveness to convince me. She was trusting in the gospel of God, the perfect love that's in the gospel, the power that's in the gospel, not to change my behavior, but to change my very soul, my heart. She had to trust God, get out of the way, and let God work in my life. And that night I kneeled down and I asked God to show me who he was. And he rescued me. And the rest is history. You have to deal with me now. Well, one of my favorite parts of Dave's message last week is Jesus said, never said it was going to be easy, but he said it's going to be worth it. I'm so glad that Susie saw that I was worth it to share the gospel. Are there people that you know that you truly do believe they're worth it, but you're afraid to share the gospel? Think, brothers, sisters. Some old Mormonism coming out of me. But you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes. Because that is an excellent description of why we share the gospel. It's going to be worth it eternally. Paul's response was, we don't need to fear or be ashamed to share the gospel. Romans 1:16 that we read, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by works. You should say, liar!
It's okay. Don't be afraid to go, wait a minute, that's not right. Because you know that it's not right. It's, you know, I don't know who said it, but somebody over here said it. Because I heard it. It was probably you, Jessica. Yeah, way to go. Faith. Yeah, one of my favorite grace words. Grace, the number of grace in biblical numerology is five letters, right? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. But so is faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith, not how great my faith is, but how great my faith is, how great the one is that I put my faith in. There's no shame, because something happened for me. This is what happened. Let me just, it's described for us in Mark 8, 35 through 38. This is the reason why there's no shame in my life. It says to share the gospel. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in exchange or return for his soul? And then it says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. What that means is that you've refused him. You've said no to him. I want no part of him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And when the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to put your faith in Jesus and you refuse him, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You say no to the work of God. But don't say no. Say yes. Say yes, and God will give you life. Yeah, there's going to be challenges and consequences and difficulties, but he's never going to leave you, just like what he said. It is the power of God for salvation is what the word says. It's no one else's power. It can only be done by God, and it has to be done his way. And Jesus says, for I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. What did Jesus just do? He declared himself to be God. And he is. He's revealing God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the way, the truth, and the life. Do you see the triune God again? He's all through this book. We just have to open our hearts to him and to everyone who believes. God's people, the Jews, and all the rest of us called the Gentiles. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance or come unto repentance. We come to a place of repentance. We realize our need for a God who is able to forgive us. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. There's going to be an end to this thing called life, folks. And it might be today. But are you ready? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And it's the righteous who live by faith. See, it's not our righteousness. It's what God has done for us. He made him who knew no sin to become righteous.
By golly, I better just read my notes.
For in it the righteousness of God is revealed by faith for faith. Wait a minute, that's what's in my notes. But God demonstrates... You know, sometimes when things just go wrong, they just keep going, right? Now, I didn't do that on purpose. Second Corinthians 5:20. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's what I meant to say. And you're going, whew, thank you, Ron, for reading God's word, not relying on your memory. But it's not about faith in what I do or who I am.
or what I accomplish in life. It's about what he has done to rescue all of us. Some additional personal insight that Paul shared with us that we read this morning, that Jack shared with us this morning. Did you know that Jack is Susie's cousin? Isn't that cool? I think so. Anyway, now you know more about Susie than maybe you wanted to. Now let's look at additional personal insight that Paul shares for us. Why we don't need to fear sharing the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For if I preach the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9:16, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. You see, we have the message of hope that's immersed in grace and mercies. God does not want to give us what we deserve. No, he gave us Jesus so that we could receive grace, unmerited favor of God. And that's continual. It never stops. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us to save us from a wrath to come. So things to consider to confront our fears. All right, I got 9 minutes. Remember, we have the message of hope, and it's immersed in grace and mercies. The gospel changes people's lives, spouses, children's, families. I can tell you, he changed my life. And part of the blessing of my life is all of you. Because you're my friends. I don't know that I knew. Did I know any of you before I got saved? Well, Jenny, when she heard I got saved, she said, "Ron Heath got saved." Well, maybe it wasn't quite like that, but you know what I mean. The gospel leads people from confusion to peace. That's what our world needs today. If God is for us, who can be against us? So what are we afraid of? It's his spirit that's in us. Spirit-filled Christians are Christ-centered. So what do we talk about? We talk about Jesus. Sin leads to sorrow, but holiness leads to joy. Remind yourself that it's a gift to live each day for the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. Pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for the hurting. I so appreciate the way that God provides for that. Because when you pray, don't be bashful, don't be afraid. If you're talking to somebody on the phone because you called because they're hurting and you know that and you can't be there, ask if you can pray for them. Can I pray? Let's try this. On three, say, "Can I pray for you?" 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's do that a little bit better. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yes, you can. I want you to pray for me. Do you know that before service that I got up here to start, God, I'm walking in and I'm dealing with all this stuff in my head about crying out, "Lord, help me to know what to share. I know I have notes, but I want to do what you have for me." And he brings me a brother and he puts his arm around me and he goes, "Can I pray for you?" Now, who's that? That's God showing up. And he prayed the exact thing that I had just talked to the Lord about.
I didn't talk to him about that. God did. Because that's who he is. He knows our thoughts even before we speak them. Prayer is our declaration of dependence upon God. We are saying, I'm putting my trust in you because I remember who you are, what you have done. I can put my trust in you. And so be prepared means being in his word. I need to let the nourishment of God's word fill my soul, my spirit, my life. Without it, I'm going to be dry and brittle. And I don't want to be dry and brittle. I want to love like I have been loved by Jesus. And might I encourage you to sing? Yeah, I wrote a note in here and I wrote, well, I don't sing. Then make a joyful noise. But get it out. Get it out. Live trusting in the one you pray to, trusting in the truth of the word, and trusting who provided the word for you. And sing. You know, one of the first songs I was singing when I was saved was Bullfrogs and Butterflies, They've Both Been Born Again. Bullfrogs and Butterflies, They've Both Been Born Again. I'm walking through the bank. I worked for a bank at that time period. I'm walking through the bank and I'm singing my song, and there's a teller watching and listening. She goes like this. Took her 2 weeks to have the courage to go, did you get saved? Yeah. She goes, do you know what that song means? No, but I sure like it. I never thought about it because I'm a new Christian. You know, I'm learning about all these things. Bullfrogs and butterflies have both been born again. Oh, that's cool. You know? But the thing about it that I want to point out is the way you live your life matters. Because others are watching, and you don't even know who they are, but they're watching, because it matters how you reflect Jesus. So when we share the gospel, our faith grows, our lives change, and the gospel grows in us. We draw closer to Christ, and we share the gospel. Isn't it a wonderful rotation? Yeah, I think it is. I hope you do too. But you know what? There are some sufferings, and people are going to reject you, and they're going to mock you, and they're going to ridicule you. And the benefit behind that is you're going to get this fractional little taste of suffering and of rejection that Christ went through on the cross. It's called the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Praise God. I'm not saying, I'm rejoicing in who he is and the work that he does. To teach me more about him and my dependency upon him. Because there is going to be a glorious day of my death, or my hope is that in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be with the Lord in the air forever. And I'm going to be in a kingdom where there are no tears, only joy. As you share the gospel, you just ask questions. Just ask questions about people's lives. Tell me about your life. How hard was that? Can I tell you about my life? Can I tell you who gave me new life? I think one of the most important people that we share the gospel with is ourselves. Because life can be hard. And we need to be reminded. And it's good for us to remind ourselves of what Jesus did. Because in his eyes, I have value. I have the greatest value of all. Because he gave up his life for me. I remember to share the gospel with myself. Because it is the power of God. Not of my ability to persuade someone, but I let his message stand because it has power that I don't even know about.
And we have that message. That message is immersed in hope, grace, and mercies. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I was going to pray to begin with, and I forgot. Please forgive me. But yet, you had my time of prayer that I needed even before I got here. Because you take care of our every need if we just trust you. Lord, take the message of what you had and how you spoke today and shape it in us. Shape it in us that we may have courage. Shape it in us that we would not be afraid to share the good news. Oh God, that you sent your Son to rescue us. You made yourself known through your Son, but he is our Redeemer. He is, as he declared before the Pharisees who wanted to stone him, that before Abraham was, I am. The eternally existent one says, I fearfully and made each of you, but I want you to become one of my children. I want you to see what I have done to rescue you from all the sorrow, the heartache, the pain, the suffering that takes place in this ugly world. But I have overcome the world. It's love that covers the multitude of sin, but it's only the love that comes from you. And so, Lord, we pray for the way in which that love will pour in us and through us, that we may bring glory to your name, and the gospel would be the very breath of our lives, the heartbeat of our lives. That we treasure the opportunity for when you open a door, we step through that door. And we share hope with people who are hopeless or confused, who are caught up in lies, to give them truth that sets them free. It's truth that keeps us free. It's truth that sanctifies us. Oh, that's where we find the place of order, of wisdom and understanding is in your word. It's in truth. It's in you, Jesus. It's in you, Father. It's in you, Holy Spirit. The way, the truth, and the life. And you've made the way for us to have life through the truth of who Jesus is. If you are here today, maybe you're a guest and I didn't acknowledge you, please forgive me, but welcome. We're glad you're here today. And if God has been speaking to you today about your life and the value of your life, the good news that he has provided, we refer to as the gospel, then I invite you to receive him today. And it's so simple. God didn't make it complex. He said, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's faith, folks. And so if you are here today, I would like to invite you to repeat after me a prayer. Just silently if you need to, but if you want to shout it, you can shout it. That's simply this: Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me so much, for giving me life, but then providing eternal life that I can deal with life because you are with me. I ask that you would come into my life and cleanse me of my unrighteousness, that you would give me hope. The hope that Pastor Ron talked about, the hope that is revealed in your word, the hope is that it's you, Jesus. You are our hope. So I do believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You paid the price. And that you rose from the grave. And in so doing, Lord, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for enduring and listening to me today. Hey, we get to do something that's really important. We get to remind ourselves of what Jesus did through communion. And so if you are a believer in Jesus, and if you just prayed that prayer, then you are a believer in Jesus. I invite you to go and get communion bread and juice. It's around the auditorium. And for those of you that may not be able to get up and go, just throw up your hand or kind of wiggle your leg or something, but get the attention of the ushers and the usherettes. And they'll come over and they'll serve you. It's a joy to get to serve you. And so we'll take communion together. Has everyone been served? Looks good. Pastor Jeff, you got the thumbs up. Can I move forward? By the way, you can just blame Jeff if you don't like anything that I said. He's one of my favorite friends. He loves me for just who I am. He loves me like Jesus loves me. And that's why I love him. That's what it says, is because he first loved us, that we might love like he loves. Oh, let's take the bread. Lord, thank you so much. For every blow, the ways that people spit on you, the arrogance of men and their claims, their mockery, ridicule. But you endured that, Lord. You were broken on our behalf. You paid the price of judgment. As your word says, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. But there's a way to avoid the judgment, and through putting our faith in the one who was broken on the cross. And so we thank you that you took that judgment on our behalf, that we might be whole, prepared for your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And then Jesus took the cup and he told his disciples, this is a new covenant. That's a legal term for a binding agreement, but it's not based upon something that man does. It's only based upon what God does, symbolizing his blood that would be shed for the cleansing of sin. Wow, it feels good to be forgiven, doesn't it? It sure does. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. For your faithful obedience to fulfill the Father's will. For there was no other way. You asked for our benefit. Is there another way? And the answer was no. There's only one way. For God's life to pour out from his veins, that we might have life. And then, Lord, you rose from the grave. to live eternally. And for all who put their faith in you, that grave won't hold us. It's because it didn't hold you. So we look forward to that day of the Lord, the day of Christ Jesus, I should say, when our heads will be lifted by the hands that were pierced, and we get to see you face to face. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing us by your blood. In your name we pray. Amen. Won't you take a drink? Bless you.